Morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good.
How many of you have fasted before?
A little bit.
Little bit? Yes? Good, good. Well, today I want to talk about fasting. As you may know, the leadership and some of you are, we're currently in a 14-day fast, a Daniel fast, and I wish I would have spoke on this last week so that we would have just a unified vision on fasting. But hopefully if you are stirred in your spirit to fast after this message, that you would fast. Fasting is for everyone. It's not just for the super Christian, the radical Christian, or the holier than thou types of people. Fasting is for everybody. Like in the scripture we read in Matthew chapter 6, let me read it again. Matthew 6:16, it says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do." Again, no, it says when you fast, not if you fast, or if you decide to fast, or if you feel like fasting. Jesus specifically says when. And so he's assuming that we will fast, that it would be a part of our life. And of course, the audience he was talking to, it was a part of their lifestyle. They fasted. It's said that the Pharisee, they fasted at least twice a week. There was at least one fast, once a year, that was given to the Israelites by God Himself, the Day of Atonement. So fasting was a type of their life, their lifestyle. And I believe Jesus is assuming that it would continue to be a part of our lifestyle as Christians, as His disciples. Today I want to talk about the basics of fasting. Of, you know, growing up, going to school, I used to have to do articles, and they would always say you need when you give an article or a report, you have to give the who, what, when, where, and how. Anyone taught that to you? Does everyone learn that? Okay. Did they teach that in Minnesota? Yeah, okay. So it's basic. So I want to talk about the basics of fasting today. And hopefully, as you hear about fasting, your hearts and your spirits will be stirred into fasting. And why do I say that? Let me read what Jesus says. It says, "When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Amen. Who likes rewards? Just me. Okay, great. I'm pretty sure all of you like rewards. I gotta be honest. Sometimes I daydream and think, wow, I wish I could go back to when I was 18. Because after high school, I would have just worked full time and invested in Yahoo. And most of you know, Yahoo, it grew about 100, you know, it went from 1 to 100. And so you'd be a millionaire if you invested in Yahoo at the right time. And so sometimes when I'm discontent with my life, I gotta say, I daydream, man, I wish I could go back in time and I'd invest in Yahoo and then take my money out of Yahoo and invest in Google. that's how I think anyway. But you know what? There is something far greater than being rich in this world. Amen. You know, when I say I daydream about that, it's because I'm only 34. If I was 304 and in heaven, you know what I'd be daydreaming about? I'd be saying, I wish I could go back to when I was 34 so that I could invest in heaven. Amen? There's going to be a time when, you know, you're going to be like, man, I wish I could go back to earth. And it won't be, I wish I could go back to earth so that I could be rich, or that I could be famous, or that I could be well-liked. It's going to be, I wish I could go back to earth so I could accumulate rewards that are eternal. And today I want to talk about fasting. If you read Matthew, Matthew talks a lot about rewards, and in chapter 5 and 6 he mentions rewards several times, and in fasting is, I believe, the last time he does it in the Mount, Sermon on the Mount. But there's a reward in fasting. Clearly, Jesus says, your Father who is unseen, sees what you do in secret, will reward you. That is a promise. That when you fast, there is always a reward. So who should fast? You should fast if you like rewards. If you like rewards, fast. Because it says in the Bible, if those of you who fast will be rewarded. And there's a list of rewards. There's health benefits. There's greater release of God's power in your life. Greater revelation in your life. Fulfill God's promise in your city. To avert crisis for protection and for greater connection with God. And I'll talk about those more later. But those are some of the rewards here on earth. And I believe there's also eternal rewards attached to it. Although I have no biblical references, just Jesus' word, Jesus' promise. So let's get into what is fasting then. Fasting is basically a willing act to abstain from food or water. It's just willingly saying no to our needs and embracing the weakness that comes with it. I don't know about some of you who are fasting, but I've been trying to lose weight. I don't know if you noticed. I lost some weight. But I've been trying to lose some weight, and in order for me to lose weight, I have to go to the gym. I'm going to just keep this here. And so I've been going to the gym about, I don't know, 5 times a week, something like that. I like to go to the gym quite often. But since I've been fasting, I go to the gym, and I can't work out the way I normally work out. Because when I go to the gym, I'm like Hulk Hogan. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it drains you when you're not able to eat what you're normally eating. Especially if you're abstaining from all types of food. So fasting is abstaining from food or water or both and embracing weakness. And that's kind of a weird thing to do, right? Embracing weakness. Who would want to embrace weakness? But the scripture is clear. It says God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so when we fast and embrace our weakness, we are embracing God saying, Lord, I need you. I need you to strengthen me. Now there are several types of fast throughout scripture. There's the 40-day fast, and people like Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, they all did 40-day fast. There's the Day of Atonement. Why does this keep going in and out on me? It doesn't go in and out on Juna when she sings, but it goes in and out on me when I preach. I don't know. Does it not like me? Okay. All right, well, anyways. Esther fasted for 3 days, and she fasted without, she fasted water and food for 3 days. Daniel fasted again. He fasted, it's recorded 3 times in the Bible. If He fasted once to consecrate himself, and twice for greater revelation of one, the scripture, and greater revelation of two, his dreams. There's a fast by a man named Saint Benedict, and he fasted, all he did was eat once a day. And that was a lifestyle. Doing a Benedict fast is just eating once a day. Apparently it's also called a warrior's diet. There's a diet now that you could eat just once a day and you could eat as much as you want. There's a liquid fast where you just drink liquids, juices, and lately there's this thing called a media fast. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's abstaining from TV, internet, all kinds of social media, just so that we could come to know the Lord more. So those are the different types of fasts. Again, JCCT, right now we're doing a Daniel fast. And I hope, even though we're in the middle of a Daniel fast, I hope some of you would join us for the last 7 days of the Daniel fast. And the reason why we're doing the Daniel fast is, for one, just greater intimacy with the Lord. But two, after this, our Daniel fast, we're going to do a vision launch of our church. And one of the things we want to embrace, or I want to embrace here at JCCT, is that our church will be filled with more power. Amen? I know power, it frightens some people because power corrupts. I understand that. But without power, the church will not grow. Without God's power working within our midst, the church will not grow. And so it's so important that the church is filled with power, but at the same time filled with intimacy with God so that that power does not corrupt us. Amen. When to fast. Again, there's just numerous health benefits to fasting. And I'm not going to talk about that too much today. Just because the reason why we're fasting isn't necessarily for health benefits. It's for spiritual benefits. But if you go online and you type health benefits with fast, there'll be a list of things that comes up. But, you know, just to name some of them, it detoxes your body. They say it's good for weight loss, certain types of fast. They also say it reduces the risk of cancer, diabetes, and it slows down the aging process. So there's a lot of health benefits when it comes to fasting. But again, that's not why we're doing the fast. We're doing the fast for more than just health benefits, but we're doing the fast for, one, a greater release of God's power. Fasting for a greater release of God's power in our lives. In Mark chapter 9:29, the disciples, they were ministering, and a demon-possessed boy was brought to them. And the disciples, they prayed for them, and nothing happened. Jesus comes on the scene and says, good try, guys. No, he actually didn't say good try. He says, you unbelieving generation. He actually rebuked them. He says, and he prays for the kid, and the kid is released. And the disciples, they asked him, you know, we've had success before casting out demons. Why can't we cast this demon out? And Jesus replies, it's because you have so little faith, one. And then he says, some things only come out through prayer and fasting. Some things only come out through prayer and fasting. It's so important, again, that we as a church display the power of God, and when it's not happening, if it's not happening in your life, one, it could be a lack of faith, two, it could mean we need to pray and fast. Let me read what I about Charles Finney. Does anybody recognize the name Charles Finney? The great revivalist back in 1857, great preacher. It says, let me read it. It is reported that he led more than 500,000 people to the Lord in an 8-week period during the Great New York Revival. 500,000 people. Finney wrote that when the grace of prayer left him, his preaching became as weak as other men. When this happened, he would spend several days in prayer and fasting until the spirit of prayer returned along with power on his preaching. He proclaimed that the power on his preaching was connected to regular times of prayer with fasting. Finney writes, I was led into a state of great dissatisfaction with my own lack of faith and love. I felt myself weak in temptation and needed frequently to hold days of fasting and prayer in order to retain communion with God that would enable me to work in revival with power. When the church is weak and when the church isn't moving in the power of God, I believe it's important that we begin to pray and fast. That we won't be satisfied with business as usual. We can't compare ourselves with what's happening around us. We should compare ourselves with what's happened in the Bible. The Bible sets a precedent of what ought to be reality. Amen? We shouldn't say just because it's not in my experience when we read the Bible. It should be reading the Bible and becoming jealous of what the saints of old had, of what people like Charles Finney had, and saying this is reality. I'm not living in the fullness of what God has for us. Let's pray and fast if that's how you feel. Again, power is a crucial element in bringing glory to God. Many times when Jesus did miraculous signs, people praised God. Fasting is also beneficial for greater revelations. Again, the first time Daniel fasted, it was to consecrate himself. That means just to set himself apart from everyone else. But the other recorded times when Daniel fasted, it was for greater revelation. One, he was reading scripture, and he saw in scripture that the time of Israel to be in Babylon was a certain amount of time. And he didn't know what that meant, so he prayed and fasted for understanding. And after he prayed and fasted, God sent an angel to give him understanding. In Acts 13, it says the Holy Spirit spoke to the church to set aside Paul and Barnabas after they prayed and fasted. If you want more proof that fasting is for greater revelation, after 40 days of fasting, Moses was given the Ten Commandments. Another person who did a 40-day fast was Elijah. And after his 40-day fast, he heard the still small voice of God. Great rewards, amen. There is greater revelation for those who decides to fast, who chooses to fast. Fasting has also been used in the scripture to fulfill God's promises in their cities. You know, every church, and I've said this before, every church, every town, every city, every nation has a redemptive purpose. Amen? Every city has a redemptive purpose. Tucson has a redemptive purpose. But redemptive purposes will not be fulfilled by passive Christians and idle faith. Redemptive purpose just doesn't happen automatically. Fulfillment of God's promises for Tucson will not happen if Christians just sit and say and wait and say, God, come. It'll be fulfilled when the church prays it in, though. When the church is filled and led by the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, there are two books in the Old Testament that are that talks about the story of rebuilding the temple. For those of you who don't know, the temple was destroyed. Man, I should know the date. Honey, do you know the date when the temple was destroyed? When I was going to seminary, the teacher said, you need to know these dates. Because that's when the temple was destroyed.
777.
No, it's not 777. It's like 4 something, 470 or something. Sorry, I'm sorry. I was a bad student, what can I say? But the temple was destroyed, and there was two books that talked about the rebuilding of the temple, Nehemiah and Ezra. Ezra comes first. And I believe Ezra was a cupbearer to the king of, I believe, it was Babylon or one of the empires. And he was stirred in his heart that the temple was in ruins, the wall was in shambles, and no one was doing anything. So what did Ezra do? He prayed and he fasted. And the king showed him favor. And that was the beginning of the rebuilding of the temple. They prayed and fast. Now I don't know, for those of you Tucsonians, is that what you guys are called? Is that what we're called? Tucsonians. I'm not saying that Tucson is in shambles right now. But Tucson was hit mightily. Tucson was hit hard, and even now people are losing their houses. You know, our neighbor, they lost their house. Their house got foreclosed on. And I'm sure some of you know people whose houses got foreclosed on. Tucson got hit hard economically. And there needs to be people in the city of Tucson that has a heart for that, who would actually pray and fast and say, this isn't right. This isn't the redemptive purpose of God. There has to be more. Fasting has also been used for protection and to avert crisis, national deliverance. Again, Esther, she was a queen. And, well, she wasn't the only queen. There was a lot of queens, but Esther was a queen and she was Jewish. And it was a time when the Jewish people were on the brink of annihilation. There was a decree sent out that says, you know, if you're Jewish, you're going to be killed. What Esther decided to do was fast for 3 days. No food, no water. And she called the people to fast for 3 days with her. And after those 3 days, Esther went to the king and said, it was a dangerous thing. Just because she was a queen, she couldn't just go to the king's presence. She had to be summoned. And if she went to the king's presence and she wasn't summoned and the king was displeased, the king could have killed the queen. That's just how it was back then. So Esther fasted and prayed and she went to the king's presence. And the king showed her favor, and the king said, Esther, what do you want? And she said, well, my people are about to die. Can you do something about it? And of course, he's the king. He could do something about it. And the Jewish people were saved. Phil emailed me yesterday and said, he was going to be out of town. I think he was visiting his daughter, or his new granddaughter, Ginny's great-granddaughter. Congratulations again, Ginny. But he told me while during his quiet time, he read about Jehoshaphat. And I haven't read about him in a long time, so I had to look him up, and I'm like, oh yeah, Jehoshaphat. He was one of Israel's great reformers. He was one of the kings that actually brought Israel back out of idolatry and into worshiping God during his earlier years of reigning. There was one time though, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, they were surrounded by his enemies, and they were terrified. Even though Jehoshaphat was a great king and defeated many armies prior to that, what he did though was very interesting. He fasted. He's surrounded by his enemies. He fasted and he inquired of the Lord. Another well-known story is about the prophet Jonah. Jonah goes to Nineveh to pronounce judgment to the people of Nineveh for wickedness. What Nineveh decides to do is go on a fast. The king calls a fast. The whole nation, even their animals, even their livestock, go on a fast. After fasting, you know, this, I'm not going to talk about the theological implications of what God did, but it says God relented. He changed his mind. He was going to pronounce judgment. But after Nineveh fasted and prayed, God changed his mind. Now if that doesn't get you to fast, I don't know what will. I mean, fasting can change God's mind. I know that, you know, every day, if you read the news and watch the news, it's like something's going on somewhere. And it's not gonna slow down. It's just gonna continue to happen, I believe. But I believe there are gonna be some places where the church is praying and they will be averted from crisis. And most importantly, of when to fast is for greater connection with God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Well, speaking of fasting, man, my stomach is about to make a noise. Matthew chapter 9:15. Let's read from verse 14. It says, then John's disciples came and asked Jesus, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guest of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. It says, the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. So the question was, how come your disciples aren't fasting? We fast all the time. You guys just eat and drink all the time. What's going on? And Jesus says this. And it's a great revelation, by the way. He says, I'm like a bridegroom. And I'm here with my wife before the marriage. It's time for celebration. And it was a unique time, the incarnation of God, a unique time in history that will never be repeated again in such a way. And Jesus said, I'm like the bridegroom, but there will be a time when I'm taken away. And of course, Jesus has been taken away about 2,000 years now, right? He says, when I'm taken away, that's when my disciples will pray. He says, the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, then they will fast. If you feel like in your relationship with God that you're not as intimate with Him as you've been before, it's time to fast. If that communion with God isn't as sweet as it was when you first became Christian, it's time to fast. The where of fasting, that's a really silly question. But wherever you are, when you feel moved to fast, even when it is inconvenient, that's where you fast. Just to give you a heads up, when you fast, again, not if, but when you fast, it's gonna be tough. I don't like fasting. I'm up here preaching about fasting, but I'll be straight up with you. I don't like fasting. And honestly, I can't wait till this fast ends. Because of the rewards of God too, of course, but, I like food. I'm an emotional eater. When I get angry, I like to eat. When I get happy, I like to eat. When I'm lonely, I eat. When I get depressed, I eat. I eat all the time. I eat just to, you know. Anyways, so I like eating. But when you fast, so it's just as important to fast as you like eating. But when you fast, there isn't going to be a convenient time to fast. There's always going to be something. Always gonna be a party, always gonna be good food when you fast. I remember when I fasted one time, it was during a general conference, and that's a conference for our churches. And if you've ever been to a general conference, they always serve good food. I mean, it's like a competition with these churches, it seems like. If they want to serve the best food to make their church look really good and be very hospitable. And I love that about it. But one time I was fasting, and man, they were serving, I think someone made prime rib, and they were serving prime rib, and then they were serving a lobster kind of sauce spaghetti, and I had to say no. I was fasting. It was not convenient. Everyone around me was eating, and I was eating vegetables. I was eating salad. But God's reward is infinitely greater than prime rib, and that's coming. That means a lot coming from me because I love prime rib. But God's reward is infinitely greater. And now, how to fast. Let me just end this with just quick tips on how to fast. Pray prior to fasting. You know, ask God, how long and what is it you want me to give up? And that goes along with number two, do it with a purpose, not legalistically or religiously. Some people, they do it every week and they don't even know why they're doing it. They just do it. Don't do that. If you're going to fast, pray prior to fasting and pray with a purpose. Like we read in chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, do it in secret. Now, doing it in secret is more the matter of the heart than it is about people knowing. Doing it in secret isn't how many people you could keep it from. It's not about that. We know that the disciples fasted, and it was recorded in Scripture because people knew about it. So people knew they were fasting. So it's not necessarily that people don't have to know. If people ask you, hey, how come you're not eating? It's okay to say, I'm fasting. And for some people, that might be a great way to talk about Jesus. A great entry point. But doing it in secret is more about the heart. Don't go around, you know, boasting about how you did a 40-day fast or how you did an 80-day fast, or don't go around, you know, pridefully saying, oh, I'm fasting because I'm righteous and religious. But do it in secret. When you fast, make sure you read and pray. Fasting without reading and praying is starving. I don't want anyone in this church to starve. When you fast, slow down. You'll have to say no to some social gatherings. You'll have to say no to some of your friends. Slow down. It's okay to slow your life down as your body slows down. Fast with expectation. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because He rewards those who seek Him. Again, that word, rewards those who seek Him. God loves it that when we seek Him, that He gets the reward. He loves rewarding us. That's why He keeps on telling us, hey, there's a reward. But when you fast, do it with expectation. And finally, the last one, of course, if you have health problems, consult a physician. Just ask them. If you're young and strong like me, just kidding, but just for safety cautions, ask your physician if you have one. But I hope somewhere in this message you are stirred to fast and pray. And if you are, you know, again, JCCT, we're doing a Daniel fast, which is no meats, no sweets, and no bread. And we're fasting because we're going to have a vision launch next Sunday. And I hope as we do a vision launch, and as we, as a church, hopefully go in this new direction, that we could go in this new direction with God's favor, with His power, with His love. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your grace and mercy over our lives. Father, we thank You so much for today, where we could just worship You, Lord. And Father, if You did speak to any of us concerning fasting, Lord, would You give us the grace to fast, Lord? We know it's not by strength or not by might, but by Your Spirit. So we just pray for Your grace. And for those of us who are fasting, we're in the middle of the fast. And so, Father, we just pray for grace to finish strong. And Lord, as we fast and pray, we do pray for greater revelation. We pray for greater power. We pray for greater intimacy, Lord. We pray for Your closeness, God. We thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.